Start living. Start listening. From features through music to news, reflecting your views, this is
CYTR's thing.
CITR 101.9 FM broadcasting live from Vancouver, UBC.
Accelerated program.
Accelerated programming since 1937.
Nice warm bed. You just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
And hello and welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Community Radio Association Networks. That's the NCRA Radio Networks. We broadcast from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada on two major network stations. One station we do broadcast right now Thursdays from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock here on the campus radio CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. Our second show we do on our half-hour show is on Vancouver's Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM, which starts from 2 o'clock to 2:30, which is tomorrow, which is Friday, every Friday from 2 o'clock to 2:30. So, to make a programming note, we were going to have Co-op Radio on normally on every week, except this March 31st, we don't have a show. You're not in, Michael.
Right.
So you're not in to help out with the show. We got nobody there on the 31st. So make a programming note that we may not have a show on March 31st on Co-op Radio.
And if we don't, they should tune in and listen to News A-Train.
Yeah, New to Dune for the A-Train show that will start half an hour earlier. So keep that in mind. Okay, so having said that, we have a special guest on with us on the show. Michael, can you please tell us our special guest?
Our special guest is Nathan Seagal. And he is an expert in neurolinguistic programming. He has actually used neurolinguistic programming to heal himself from a trauma of being bullied. He had suffered from symptoms of PTSD due to being bullied for a number of decades until he ran into his own personal neuro-linguistic programming coach, Hamish Bastin. I hope I said his name right, Bastin.
Yeah, you did.
So why don't we just start right off and... Why don't we get to the basic story of what happened, you know, led to the PTSD? Let's start from there.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, it came from my family of origin. My late father, my brother, both of whom were bullies, and lots of trauma throughout my life. By the way, I'm hoping that you're not hearing the dog barking in the background. I can't do anything about it. I wish I could.
That's fine. Anyway, it's probably a neighbor or somebody just, you know, barking away at something.
It's not very noticeable, though.
Not pretty noticeable.
Okay, good. I just wanted to mention it just in case for the listeners.
So
the PTSD came about as a result of being bullied, mostly by my family, my father, my brother, tremendous abuse over the course of my life. And that's what led to all of these problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bullying is always a horrible thing, and especially to have it come from your own family members. And I will tell our listeners this. Nathan is in San Diego. He's not here in Vancouver, so that's why he's on the phone.
Yeah, of course.
It's San Diego, right?
I'm actually south of San Diego in Ensenada, Baja California. I'm 100 kilometers straight south, actually.
You need a Mexican border?
He's actually on the other side of the Mexican border. You're in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
I'm in Mexico, yeah. A lot of it's one of those things.
It's similar to what we have in Vancouver, because we have another town south of the border called Blaine. So it's
not to mention Point Roberts.
Yeah, that too.
I think Point Roberts would be more comparable.
Well, it is comparable. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's having bullying coming from your own family members. That has to be more traumatic than anything else, because you really can't get away from it, can you?
Well, not until you get to a point where you realize what's going on and you make a conscious decision to end it. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, I didn't realize I didn't understand that what I was growing up in wasn't normal. It took me a long time before I started to realize that things weren't right. But even then, one of the major problems I had is I believed the major taboo of our society, which is family is everything. And nobody ever told me that I could leave my family. I didn't actually find that out until about 12 years ago when I was in Mexico and I met a man who was telling me, you don't have to put up with this. You can kick your family out of your life. And I did at that point for the first time. And then I did it again a few years later. And second time, that was 6 years ago, and I made it permanent. So, yeah, there are a lot of taboos to do with this, and it's a major problem for a lot of people. It's like, because family, they're supposed to be your rock, your foundation.
Yeah.
But what do you, if you do, if they're your worst enemies, as in my case, and it nearly killed me last time because I kept getting viciously attacked, and it would create a psychological, physical illness. And the last time I was sick for a month, and I thought I was going to die, and I was absolutely amazed that I'm still alive. Shortly after that is when I woke up out of the abuse and I kicked them out of my life. But I was physically free of them, mostly,
right.
But I wasn't mentally free. And that's what led up to all these things going forward.
It sounds like there was long-term suffering and everything that you would get.
Oh, yeah.
Ill to the point that you were, like you said, bedridden for a month?
Yeah, there was one particular attack roughly 6 years ago. It had nothing to do with me personally. My mother had been severely injured in a car crash.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been waiting for a number of months for a word from them to come up. And then one day, my brother and mother decided to attack me viciously over it. It had nothing to do with me, but it made me very sick regardless. I couldn't defend myself from those attacks. And like I said, it nearly killed me. And shortly afterwards, when I spoke with a counselor, I woke up, for lack of I came out of my denial to do with it. It was like breaking free in a way. And that's when I realized what was happening, what they were doing, what I was doing. And I ended everything with them. I said, that's enough. I'm not going to allow this to continue anymore. And I told them all to get lost. It was the right decision, but it didn't free me from the trauma. I knew I was still in trouble. And you know, what led up to where I am now was ironically making a major business mistake and nearly winding up homeless for the second time. And it was kind of funny. Like, I did the proverbial drawing the line in the sand kind of thing. I did it on the floor of where I was living. And then I went online and I looked for three things: NLP, prosperity, and abundance. And I found a video by a guy by the name of Rich Schnabel, From Self-Sabotage to Self-Made Millionaire. I watched it. Then I discovered they had a thing for coaching. And I signed up for it, and that's how I met Hamish.
Now,
Hamish was not the counselor. He's somebody else. Hamish coach is different than the counselor.
Well, he's a coach. He's an NLP master coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's possible to use all sorts of terms interchangeably, but he's an NLP master coach, and he was assigned to me when I applied for a session. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so over time, like we had an awful lot of common ground, and which translated very quickly from coach and client relationship into being colleagues. Still, he had valuable knowledge, and because of NLP, he was helping me over time with these various problems to do with the PTSD caused by the trauma in my family.
Mm. You mentioned your mother on the on what happened. Tell us about what happened to both you and your mom.
Well, it was just to do with her car crash.
Mm-hmm.
She'd been severely injured in a crash. She should have died. She really, really. When I heard about her injuries, I was amazed she had lived. She broke something like 30 bones in the crash. But she sounded normal when I spoke to her on the phone. It was weird. It was like nothing had happened.
Okay.
But like I said, she and my brother decided to viciously attack me for not coming up immediately when she was injured. But I also knew from my family they were playing mind games with me. Mm-hmm. My brother didn't want me around. He hates my guts, and he's made it very clear over the years. He's harassed me for well over 20 years, and he's repeatedly tried to destroy my reputation online. He did it a year and some ago, and I managed to stop him, basically by telling him that he tried to intimidate some of my friends on top of it.
Right.
And I basically informed him. I said, you know, everybody in the audience knows to call the police if you harass them.
Mm.
And I will call the police every time you do it. And I said, I demand that you quit. So I haven't heard from him for a year and a half. Hopefully I won't.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the kind of stuff. And it just wouldn't stop. And I told my brother I never wanted to hear from him again, ever, for any reason. And he violated my boundaries repeatedly, even after I left the family. So, nasty stuff. It really is.
Yeah.
And
so,
you know,
let's dip into a second here about what did the NLP, or I'm going to say it the long way again, just so people get used to what NLP and neurolinguistic programming actually means.
Well, it's a combination of techniques used to deal with various. Various problems. And in this particular case, I actually didn't realize what was happening. Hamish would use different techniques. There were three of them, which he used in my case, which are called timeline, belief change, and anchoring. And timeline is extremely effective for removing trauma. And he did two sessions with me. One was to do with an incident with my father when I was like 16. And another, again, was to do with the bullying. And the second one dissolved the trauma, the bullying, or most of it, not all of it. It dissolved the massive amount of pain that I was dealing with. And for a while, I felt considerably better. But there was a part of it which came back, which I refer to as the inner war, which is where I would be fighting mentally against the people who had abused me, and mostly my family, my brother. The third session, which was on anchoring, it has to do with a technique in NLP. Anchors are different things. As human beings, we create them all the time. They are, like, for example, if you are driving in your car one day and you happen to go over a bridge, it's a sunny day, it's one of those really, really cool suspension bridges, with somebody you really care about, and say the song Deacon Blues plays on the radio, then afterwards, every time you hear the song Deacon Blues, you're going to be reminded of that incident. It will bring that to mind. That's an example of an anchor. So what Hamish did is we were talking about anchoring again. And there's a technique in NLP where you, if you've got intrusive voices in your mind, you imagine a volume knob on a radio in your mind, and you just turn it down as turning down the voices. And I did that, and it didn't work.
Right.
And Hamish told me, that's because you're missing a piece. And he said, you need to go out and find an old radio, one with a really big knob on it.
Right.
And it's got to be something that you only use once and you get rid of when you're done. And I went looking for it, and I couldn't find it. I came back home. I was sitting here and going, what am I going to do? Where am I going to find one? And then it hit me that I have an old radio in my car that I never use. Somebody stole the aerial off my car years ago. I never replaced it. And so I just got up and I went downstairs and I started my engine and I punched the button to turn on the power for the radio. And as I turned it up, I noticed, oh, it has detents, which is really cool. And since there's no aerial, nothing but static.
Mm-hmm.
And so I turned it up nice and loud, and then I imagined the voices in my mind, the inner war. And as I turned down the knob on the radio, I also imagined turning it down in my mind. And I got all the way down to zero, punched the volume knob, turned off my engine, got out of my car, and the voices, the inner war, instantly stopped.
Right.
It just stopped completely. And I remember standing there for a while, not comprehending what happened. It was just utter silence in my mind.
Mm.
And I was just like that for a while, and I kept waiting for it to come back, and it didn't. And hours stretched into days and days into weeks. And after about a week is when I really started to notice that something major had happened. More than that. Like PTSD has several hallmarks, like flashbacks and nightmares and the inner war and hypervigilance and triggers and all of that. And it took me about a week before I realized that something major had happened, and I realized that my nightmares had stopped. Hypervigilance was gone. Triggers vanished. Much of the anger I'd felt for decades had suddenly vanished. All of that just suddenly stopped. And then after a while, I noticed that the voice and the war in my mind would try to come back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd spontaneously invented tools for it. I don't know where they came from. But when it would start to come back, it would be like a foreign invader. Whereas before it was normal, now it was like an invader. I instantly noticed it, and I would say in my mind, you can't come back. You've been banished. I turned the volume off, and the voices would instantly stop. And it's been more than 3 months now, and that voice part of it is almost completely gone. I hardly even notice it anymore. And, you know, it's just absolutely astonishing to me that this actually happened. I thought I was going to suffer from this for the rest of my life. I really did. And to have it stop, to be in a place where I feel like I'm essentially cured of it, is astonishing to me. I mean, I look around a lot in total amazement. I feel like, well, I have my vision of what a normal person would be like, and that's how I feel now. So it's pretty amazing.
Wow. So the war in your mind, it has completely ended because of these techniques?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. That was one of the major lingering problems. And I mean, and just to put it into context for you, in terms of the actual conversation with Hamish, that lasted about 10 minutes. And in terms of the time that it took me to do what he told me to do, I did it by myself. He wasn't with me when I did it. He wasn't on the phone with me either. I was completely by myself, and it took me no more than 3 minutes, and it was over. And with Hamish, I only needed 4 sessions. And typically we've been finding with the people we've been working with, they only need 4 to 6 sessions to dissolve the PTSD. Mm-hmm. It's just been really amazing. And sometimes there's been this one guy, his name is George. all he's had is conversations with me and Hamish, and that's been enough.
Nathan, can you put a hold for just a moment? We're going to be taking a break in just a moment here, so can you stand by for just a moment?
Of course.
Okay, thanks, Nathan.
Thank you.
So you are listening to Nathan Segal, am I right? Is that the name? Nathan Segal on Expert on Non. I'm trying to get the name right, Michael.
What's that?
The Non. He's the expert on Non.
Neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP.
Okay, good to know. All right, so we have him on standby. So we will be back in a moment on the Community Living Show on both of our networks. And we'll be back in a moment. My name's Kelly Rayburn, along with Michael Rubin. We'll be back in a moment. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
UBC Theatre and Film presents Les Belles Sœurs by Michel Tremblay, translated into English by Bill Glasgow and John Van Buren. Raucous. Realistic. Women. Set in 1965 against the backdrop of Quebec's Quiet Revolution, 15 women tell their story as lurking resentments ignite against Germain, the lucky winner of 1 million Gold Star tickets. Reimagined by MFA director Diane Brown and choreographed by Tara Cheyenne Friedenberg, Les Belles Sœurs ends our theater season with a foot-stomping bang, running March 16th to April 1st. Curtain at 7:30 in the Frederick Wood Theater. Student tickets only $11.50. Tickets available at theaterfilm.ubc.ca. This stupid, rotten life!
Your cell phone already has an FM receiver chip installed in it, but major Canadian telecommunication and mobile companies have blocked access to this free system to listen to the radio in favor of charging for data streaming. With access to the FM chip, your phone can still receive broadcasts and updates during an emergency, even if the cell towers are down. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
All right, so we're tuning in to the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. My name is Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Rubin. And we're talking to Nathan Segal. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Nathan.
Sorry, Nathan.
Oh, my God. It's funny.
That would make you an expert in... Actually, it is kind of there is a parallel,
yeah,
with the name, because along with me and Steven Seagal, along with being an expert in Aikido martial arts,
yeah,
he is also an expert in healing spirits.
Yes, that's right.
He does do work on that. But Nathan, you're not the martial arts expert though,
no.
Right?
No, the most I've ever done is two lessons in Krav Maga.
Nice.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty cool system, too. I've done quite a few lessons in that, the Israeli method of self-defense.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I stumbled on it. It came about as a result of reading novels, and I saw the name in one novel, and I thought, oh, this sounds like a cool fantasy. Mm-hmm. And then I saw it again in another novel, and I realized, wait a second. And I looked it up and discovered it was real. And then when I had a problem with a bully roommate, like almost 3 years ago, I decided to take Krav Maga, because at one point he had cornered me in my room, and I was terrified for my life.
Right.
And I thought I better learn it, and I learned a lot in only two lessons. So it was very helpful.
Yeah, it's pretty fast pace, the way they teach you how to defend yourself. You only need a couple lessons, yeah, and the average bully or assailant that you run on the street, you they've taught you enough to be able to get away from them.
Hopefully, yeah.
We were talking about following Hamish's instructions and the radio knob. So,
yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go analytical on you for a second here. Why does that work?
Well, it has to do with the whole concept of anchoring in NLP. Like, I've used it. I can't necessarily tell you why it worked. Mm-hmm. I can only tell you that I know it does work. I've used it multiple times in different ways in my life. Like, for example, meditation years ago, I learned a technique of silencing my mind so that when I was in that place of peace, I put my hands into an unusual position, one which I wouldn't normally do. And when I did that, that was creating an anchor for myself so that when I would do it at a later date, if I was under stress or if I wanted to enter meditation quickly, I could do that and it would calm me down very quickly and take me into that space. I can't tell you why it works. I can only say to you that it does work. It's what people have found, these different NLP practitioners have found through testing, I would imagine, that this is what happens. Or, you know, NLP is, from what I've read, has been to do with a lot of observation, of observing different things with people. Like a lot of people, we do stuff and we get certain results, but we don't necessarily know why or how. And if you've got someone who's observing and asking the right questions, they can help you figure it out. They can't tell you necessarily why it happens. Okay. It's like it just happens. It just works. That's all I know.
Just like a snap of the finger just happens, right?
Well, there's that, yeah. Like when I described my story and I was describing the bit about the war ending and I snapped my fingers, by doing that, I was creating another anchor. You see, when for me to anchor that stopping, that ending. And when you do certain things like that, like say if you're doing a confidence building exercise and you repeatedly think of different techniques where you felt good, and then you do something with your fingers, certain position, you do that over and over again with different exercises, what you're doing is stacking the anchors. You're stacking the experience and making it stronger.
Mm.
And it can be very useful, and that's what I've been doing.
Right.
So, yeah. I've known you for almost 2 years now, and I remember some of the healing that you, because you healed a lot before I even met you, and I remember some more of the healing that you've done in the last 2 years, but I've seen how in the last 2 years how your life has gotten better, how your language has changed towards life and things like that. But I want you to tell the listeners how your life has changed since you started using NLP.
Well, it's kind of a funny thing. It wasn't so much using NLP; it was stumbling upon people, practitioners who do it. Hamish being one of them. I mean, I've used NLP mostly for things like anchoring over the years, not much else. I knew about it for other things, and I'd experienced it through different counselors. And so I wound up learning a few things that I used on my own. But the stuff that Hamish did with me was outside, well, with the exception of anchoring, was outside of anything else I'd ever done. So it was totally new. And I'm very open to this kind of stuff. I'm very open to hypnosis and so on. And it worked like magic. It really did. I mean, I was astonished that this happened. I didn't know that it was going to happen. If you had told me this kind of thing up front, I would have said, yeah, that's a nice dream. But, and then it happened. And I really wasn't prepared for it. And yet, when it did happen and all this stuff stopped, I discovered I had all this space in my mind, all this peace, all this stillness. Everything just changed. And I became, in many ways, the person I'd always wanted to be, but never actually believed that it would happen. Mm. It's just so incredible. Mm.
Nathan, we're just going to have a quick station ID. We just have to set up the radio for of course normally our listeners we have our half hour program, and of course I do all the editing and everything, so I'll do the actual ending at the ending of the show. So so we will be back with station ID. I'll put you on hold for just a moment. This is a community living show on the National Campus and Radio Networks. I'm Kelly Rayburn, along with Michael Rubin. We will be back with station ID and all that sort of stuff.
Listen, radio is an important means of communicating 3,000 years of habit in terms of diapering of babies.
Well, please tell me more.
Because radio reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild.
All right, you're tuning into the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Community Radio Networks. We're on the full hour side of our flagship station on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming online at CITR.ca. I'm Kelly Rayburn along with Michael Rubin. How's it going?
Hey, it's going well.
And we got a guest.
Yes, Nathan Segal. And at this point, I want Nathan to tell our listeners how... Because you have a system that they can help people using NLP also, don't you?
Yes. Well, I mean, It's a package of things. It depends on who we wind up working with. Some people might only need one or two sessions. Other people might need all of them. It just really depends on the person.
Right.
Do you want me to say where they can find the information, or?
Well, we'll do it at the end of our interview.
Okay. I want a description of how you can help people, and then we'll
sure.
At the end of that we'll get into how people can find you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, in terms of helping people, what happens? Like, they show up in a number of ways. The way this started initially is I wound up putting up a whole bunch of videos to do with bullying and recovery, and I put up this one thing like how to recover from the effects of bullying faster than you ever dreamed possible, and that's where I talked about the timeline stuff that Hamish did. So people have been coming to us through my YouTube channel about bullying, and we also recently created a group on Facebook. And we've got about 200 members on that as well. But what typically happens is somebody shows up and they say, you know, I'm in trouble. I'm hurting. Mm-hmm. And so usually the way it's been working, at least on YouTube, is that somebody makes a comment on one of my videos, and then I respond to the comment, and we may go back and forth. Or somebody might write to me straight out and say, hey, I need help. And so we might just talk a bit, or I might say to them, tell you what, what you're asking is beyond my skill set. I'd like to refer you to Hamish. Would that be okay? They say yes. I put them in contact with Hamish. It's a bit of an email exchange. And then Hamish does a back and forth with them, either by email or by phone. And what he's doing is he's wanting to see what's going on. Because this whole thing with PTSD, like now that I'm on the other side of it, there's a certain sense of unreality to it, because it almost seems like it happened to somebody else, which sounds really strange, perhaps. I know it happened to me. I know I went through this, but all of the symptoms are gone. And it's only when I talk to certain people that I remember, oh, yeah, that's what it used to feel like. I've even forgotten the feeling. But with these people, it's saying to them, okay, what's going on? You know, our nightmares, flashbacks. Like I've done a number of polls on different Facebook groups, and the answers are almost always the same. Nightmares, flashbacks, night sweats, voices, on and on and on. You can predict it almost like the sun rising. And so it's just Hamish talking with these people just to see where they're at. And then typically when he does begin a process with a client, he will do timeline. Because timeline is the most effective way of resolving trauma. And sometimes that's all it takes. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I can't explain, well, I can try, but it's just timeline, would it help to explain it a bit?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So timeline is where the person is taken on a hypnotic journey back into their past. They're given instructions where they rise up in a way above their body. They're looking down, and they travel along a line of time back into their past.
Right.
And in my words, when it happened to me, I was describing it as looking for what's called the linchpin moment, the place where the root cause of all of this stuff. And sometimes there are several root causes. In my case, there was only one. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the word linchpin or what it means. Are you?
The linchpin, isn't it some kind of a connector between, like you drop it into two pieces of, or am I thinking something? Like two train cars, and you drop the pin between the linchpin is the thing that connects the two cars together when they come together.
Yeah, I haven't heard it used in that way. My understanding of it is, you have a structure of a framework of stuff, and the linchpin is the entire thing that holds it together.
Okay.
If you pull the linchpin out, the entire structure will collapse, and that's what happens in timeline. So there may be one, or there may be two or three, but when you pull it, and when it happened in my case, when that was pulled, Hamish guided me through the rest of this thing, and then I got to a certain point, and something happened, and in my mind, I saw two watch mainsprings. I know that sounds weird, but my father was a watchmaker, so maybe that's why. But I saw two watch springs wound in two different directions, one for the past and one into the future, and they both instantly unwound at exactly the same time and vanished. And all of a sudden, it was over. I didn't even realize it was over until Hamish started asking me, and I'd realized it had become a different person literally in seconds. The timeline session itself, like the overall session was 2 hours long, but the actual guiding through the hypnotic journey was only 20 minutes. And that's how long it took to make that massive change.
Wow.
That's one of the other incredible things about this stuff is how fast it can happen. I mean, you get all these people going through all this PTSD therapy stuff, and you encounter this NLP stuff. It's incredibly fast and very powerful.
Mm-hmm. So that I'm just amazed that you went through a hypnotic session. They took you back to the original, the starting point of the trauma. Is that right?
Yeah, the trauma had happened before that, but there was a particular point. And in my particular journey, it had to do with a major fight to do with my father when I was about 22 or 23 or 21. I can't remember exactly the year. And we were in the garage working on a car and stuff like that.
Right.
And it just went back to that moment, and when that thing was pulled, that pin was pulled, it just unwound the entire thing. And one of the things that happens in timeline is that the coach will say to you, and would take you to the place of learning. That's one of the things to do with the journey. What have you learned? It might be a word or a phrase or a feeling. What comes to mind? And in my case, it was just two words, walk away.
Mm.
And since then, it's just transformed my life so fast, I can hardly believe it. That's why I say what I say, because even now, after all this time, I'm still amazed by the whole thing.
Wow.
And the people that we've been working with, they've been all reporting similar things. It unwinds so fast that some of this stuff is, like I said earlier, when I look back on it, it feels like it never happened at all.
Wow.
Which shows you how complete it is. And like, if you listen to some of the spiritual teachers like Eckhart Tolle talking about his experiences of the past, he has said to him, it feels like it happened to somebody else. I know it was me. I know it was my life, but it's gone so completely, it's like it was never there. Which is really a strange thing to say, and yet that's my experience.
Yeah. So, you use a number of tools to reach out to people, like Google Hangouts and everything. So,
yes.
Can you tell everybody the best ways to find you?
Sure. The two best ways are through a blog that I've set up, which is called lifeafterbullying.net.
Mm-hmm.
And the second way is through the group that we just formed on Facebook. So the URL would be facebook.com groups/freedom from PTSD. And that's it. And, you know, if you want to join the group, you just send in a request. We'll approve you, and you can get in and you can ask your questions. You can interact with those of us there who are there. There's Hamish, his partner, Kelly, myself, another woman, Laura, I believe. And there are the people, a couple of people in the group that we've helped who have benefited. Those are Susie and George.
Another Kelly, huh?
So it seems. I'm not sure who you're referring to.
Yeah, Kelly. Okay. Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Kelly's speaking right now. It's like, no, we have our own. We have.
Sorry.
Yeah. No worries, Mason.
It's okay, Nathan. And we'll be sure to link your Facebook group on our Facebook group. You're also a member of our Facebook group, if I remember correctly, too, right?
I'm pretty sure you are. Pretty sure I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want me to put the link on your group with that?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Yes, that would be great. And it's like, if you can put all the contact information for NLP, for what you do in NLP on our group, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
I just remembered that he was.
It's amazing what you forget.
Yeah,
it is. Exactly. So,
thank you very much, Nathan.
Yeah, and we need to move on to the next segment, right?
Yeah, we'll quickly do a quick segment. Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
It's been great talking to you, and I will be catching up with you again later on probably next week about some other projects and everything, and try to reschedule you to come back on another time, because it sounds like more really important stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. There is more I could talk about it. There's, but I guess you're out of time, so we'll have to wait for another occasion.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Nathan.
All right.
Take care.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.
All right. So that was Nathan.
Yeah. Nathan. He's a really good guy, and he just enjoys helping people too. So, he'll put his stuff up on Facebook, like he said, I think it'll help a lot of our listeners. You know, whatever trauma they went through, that especially people who have become disabled because of a trauma or something like that.
Yeah.
And
Let's just take a break, and we'll be back in a moment. You're tuned into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. We'll be back in just a flash. Yeah. The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
Ever had a hankering to ski the world-famous slopes of Whistler? Boy, do we have great news for you. Escape the city in one of Zipcar's many mountain-ready vehicles. Plus, get $30 back in free driving credit when you tweet a selfie on the slopes at Zipcar Vancouver. Zipcar. Wheels when you want them.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
All right, you tune into the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks. I'm, of course, Kelly Rayburn. Sorry, I just got the gas. Michael Rubin's here, and Ben Rempre, he is here. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Doing great. How are they? How are days? I should say.
Yeah, day's actually going pretty good so far.
Haven't been talking to you since I left, since I left for Dominican Republic, so.
How was that?
It was fun. It was
good. The weather was good for you?
Oh, yeah, it was good. Lots of palm trees, everything, so it was a lot of fun.
Nice. Welcome back, my friend.
Thank you. So, Ben, tell us about who you have.
Finally, I got Ria Samaya on the phone. Hola.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Hola, hola.
Ben.
Aloha.
So basically, I'll give you the introduce. Can you guys turn your radio down just a little bit, please?
Oh. Yeah.
See the background on it.
Yeah. On the radio, it's a speakerphone.
Okay, there you go.
All right.
Gracias. Oh,
yeah.
So basically, this is the Rio Samaya Band. They are Latin kind of music people.
And they're not from Dominican Republic.
No.
Okay, good.
No.
We wish.
Oh. We wish.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun over there. So lots of Spanish people.
I know these people for quite a while now, and I just did a show on March the 5th, and I played with these guys, and they were phenomenal. So basically, let's get into our questions here. Basically, what age did you play the guitar?
Oh, no, I stopped at 26, actually.
26?
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
we can hear you.
Yeah. It's kind of funny, because I actually learned to play the guitar at 25.
Oh, wow, nice.
I played flute and woodwind before that, and then later on had to. Yeah.
And so how long did you play the guitar for?
Oh, now it's many years. I don't want to tell you how many because I don't like to tell you my age.
Don't go that far, Pancho.
Well, I've seen some of the videos, and you both look fairly young. So, if I had to guess, I'd say you hadn't even hit 40 yet. So,
yeah, it's all about lightning.
So, who taught you how to play the guitar?
Well, short story: I bought a guitar in Spain. And then I start to play in the subway in Paris. And then I play every day, learn a new song for 8 months. And then when I finish my career in the subway, after 8 months, I get up in the surface and I start to play in restaurants.
So where did you guys meet the first time when you played your music?
We actually met in Cusco, Peru. I was on my way to Argentina to check out my roots, and Rio Pancho was on his way back to Sweden where he was living. And we crashed, and we have been together ever since.
Wow.
32 years.
How long's it been now, Pancho?
32
years.
Wow, congratulations. Do Kelly or Michael have any questions?
No, this is all on you, Ben.
Yeah, go ahead.
All on me. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make this short and brief because I know we got running low on time. But do you guys have any shows coming up?
Well, by the way, May 7th, we have the CD release at the Fairview Pub. Thank you.
Well, thanks to me, because I give you guys information how to book the shows over there at Fairview Pub.
And we play there and we like it. And we actually emailed yesterday to make a CD release, and they give us May 7th. So you're welcome there. And for sure, we give you a mic to play a couple of songs.
Oh, nice.
Aren't
you lucky? I know. How nice, eh? Do you guys have any YouTube channels, Facebook, or anything that people can listen to your music?
Yeah, Rio Samaya, or Pancho and Sal, they open 122 videos in YouTube.
Okay.
So Rio Samaya with R-I-O-S-A-M-Y-A, Rio Samaya, or just Pancho, like, you know, Pancho Villa, Pancho and Sal.
Yeah.
Click this in YouTube, and it's 122. They're home videos, you know, live performing around the world, in Turkey, in Australia, in Mexico, in Jamaica, anywhere we've been, it is some video. Or just samples of who we are.
Well, Ben had told me about you guys, and I just basically typed in Rio Somayo and in the YouTube search, and I came up with one song, Mujer.
Mujer.
You were playing accordion, and Pancho was on guitar.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was you reminded me of kind of like South American folk music.
Well, it's a Spanish background. South
yeah.
American. Yeah. That is mujer. Mujer meaning woman.
Yes, that's correct. I speak a little Spanish.
okay.
Yeah, yeah. My godmother was born in Panama.
Oh.
And she taught me a little as we like to call it in the U.S. Spanglish, a little English, a little Spanish, right?
Yeah.
So before we go, do you guys have a song request that you guys want to hear the latest like, from your latest album or anything?
Oh, up to you. You know, we are very happy to and honored that you play our music in the radio. And who knows, the music arrive everywhere and somebody can get a good day through.
Do you guys have a song there ready?
Not yet.
No.
I'm just waiting for what music it is.
You guys can pick one.
Pick a song.
Which album you got? Which album you got there?
We just said, okay.
It's on YouTube, correct?
Yeah, which one?
Rio Somayo?
Is that Rio Somayo?
Yeah, Rio Somayo.
Ah, see. You know I love you guys.
It spells just like it sounds.
We love you more, Ben.
Oh, I should call you guys later because I need that show on May the 7th if you guys have an extra space.
For sure. We got to have 3 hours there, so you're sure you can be part of the show.
Oh, muchas gracias.
De nada.
All right, so while we're trying to find the music, Rio Somayo, okay, I've got the Rio Somayo band, but it's not the band, am I right?
Yeah, Rio Somayo band is fine.
That's it. Yeah. Look for a video
Rio Somayo band.
A video that's called Baila Baila, B-A.
Baila Baila, okay, I got that. All right, so we'll play that.
Baila Baila, that is a very classic and everybody likes.
All right.
Dance, dance.
All right, so I got that set up. And all right, well, you guys want to hear it now?
Of course.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
It's actually perfect because Baila Baila is all about dancing and springtime. And I think it's very appropriate for, we feel like spring has sprung and it's coming.
All right, so we'll play it now, and we got about 7 more minutes our show. All right, so we'll play it now.
Just remembered, we are also at Calabash on April the 12th.
You know Calabash?
Calabash Bistro.
Ben?
It's in Kerrall Street between Pender and Hastings. It's a Jamaican restaurant called Calabash.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of that. Did you just say April 12th?
April 12th. So if you can come, you're welcome. It's no cover. So
that's on Wednesday, April 12th. Am I right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. All right. So we're going to play you the song now, and we'll be right back in just a moment here on the Community Living Show. Sorry, I just had to put a little intro on there. There's a little film thing or whatever it is. Here we go.
linda baila que es primavera. Y tú la más linda flor entre todas las flores. Baila, baila, baila que es primavera. Y deja que tus caderas marquen el ritmo. Este ritmo que te hace guantanamera. Este ritmo que te hace moverte entera. Regalando sonrisa a los cuatro vientos. Dejando la platea enamorada. Como me gusta tu pelo y tus ojos negros. Y tu cintura moviendo cuando tú bailas. Este ritmo que te hace guantanamera. Este ritmo que te hace moverte entera. Regalando sonrisa a los cuatro vientos. Enamorada.
All right, so that was Baya Baya by Rio Samaya Band, including Rio Samaya. Gracias.
Hey, muchas gracias a ustedes. And to you guys.
All right, so we got to say our goodbyes before we go. So,
basically, I'll say there's two announcements here for you guys. On Sunday, May the 7th at Fairview Pub at 898 West Broadway, Rio Samaya Band's going to be playing there.
Their release.
Their new release.
Oh, their new release.
That's nice. Yes.
Oh, right on. And then...
And 8 to 11, and we have a guest artist, Ben.
Okay.
What, am Ben's- I... Am I the future for you guys' show too then?
Sorry?
Am I you guys' future then for your show? Am I going to play on your show?
Yes. You are one of the guests. You
have a lot of guests. Muchas gracias.
You are one of the guests. You deserve because we discovered Fairview. Thank you playing together there, you and us.
And then on Wednesday, April the 12th, you guys are playing at the Calabash. Yeah, and they're going to play there as well. I believe, can you guys give us your website so people, how can they contact you?
Yeah, spelling.
It's riosamayaband.com.
Okay.
R-I-O.
And everything is there, our phone number, everything.
Oh, cool.
So R as in river, I-O, S as in strawberry, A-M as in mother, A-Y-A, band.com.
Okay, awesome. Good. Thank you guys very much. We got to go.
Thank you. Adios.
Adios. I'll call you later, Samaya.
Keep it going. And thank you for this honor and have a good show for the rest of the day.
Thank
here
you.
Adios.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Adios.
Adios.
All right. So.
Wow.
Yeah, so to make a program, again, a program note, we don't have a show on the 31st on Co-op Radio. We may have New to Dune coming in at 2 o'clock on the show. So so there's the situation there. Anyways, final thoughts before we go. Anything you need to...
Final thoughts? Yeah.
Final things?
I think we already posted on Facebook, but I'll say it again that I believe it's April 5th in White Rock. The Fibromyalgia Wellspring is having a fundraiser, and it is going to go toward – that fundraiser is going to housing for people with disabilities. So they're actually building a lodge out in Langley Township.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Visit us online, on email, communityliving.radio@gmail.com, and also on our Facebook, Community Living Radio Show. Thank you guys for the time.
You're most welcome. Nice seeing you again, Kelly.
Yeah, see you. Nice seeing you, Ben. All right, that is our show. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned for other upcoming shows that are on the way on the NCRA Radio Networks. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Love you all.